Without Fire by Wally K. Daly, with Paul Daneman as Philip and Norma Ronald as Sarah.
Dear
journal,
as I look at your pristine, white, virgin purity, I wonder if...
Oh, it's a bit of a problem, huh? I've written on it now. It's no longer actually pristine and virgin white.
Still.
Writer's license, perhaps? Yeah.
Yes, that's the answer. Writer's license. They all do.
Just a tool of trade, really. Where was I?
Ah, yes.
Dear journal, as I look at your pristine white virgin purity, I wonder if...
That's fine. That's good. Excellent start. I wonder if this work will travel down through the centuries, as did the diaries of Pepys, to give pleasure to millions. Not that there'll be any rude bits in mine, as I do lead a very quiet life. I didn't really mention that. I mean, I put people off before they start. Still, it wouldn't do to raise false hopes. And I did mention Pepys. So yes, I mean, leave it as it is. Right, to continue. Sarah, the cat, and myself... I better put a comma after Sarah, otherwise you'll think that's the name of the cat rather than the wife. Right, Sarah, comma, the cat, comma, and myself. Pity the cat hasn't got a name. Then I could write Sarah, comma, Fluffy, the cat, comma, and myself, Philip Hardwick.
Phil! What are you doing up there?
Just filling my journal, dear. Shan't be long.
What?
My journal, you know, day-to-day diary sort of thing, but without the dates on the top left-hand corner. I know, that's why I'm doing a journal.
But you haven't got a journal either.
I didn't have a journal, but I have a journal now. I bought it on Saturday. News agents in the high street. That's why I'm filling it in.
Well, your breath
is
getting cold and you're going to miss the 8:15 if you don't get a move.
I'll be down in a couple of minutes, darling. All right?
Oh, suit yourself. It's your breath is getting cold.
Wonder if that happened to Pepys.
My days have been dogged by a terrible need. An old-fashioned and depraved practice, long condemned by the public at large. A hunger that's constantly begging to be assuaged. I like that, assuaged. And today's the day that I finally put that filthy, unnatural practice behind me forever. Seeing it coldly in print makes it that much easier to live with forever. Right, breakfast. Delicious. Well, here we are, all finished in time to catch the 8:15 leaves.
And your journal?
Safely tucked away in my briefcase.
You're taking it to the office.
And on the train and tube, of course, so I can jot down any thoughts I may have during the day.
What, golden prose that posterity deserves not to be left out of,
sort of thing?
You may josh, Sarah, but then it's a very special reason for me to start it today, of all days.
There is.
There is. Guess.
Oh, no, darling, no, not guessing games at this ungodly hour, Philip. Leastways, not for me. I mean, the housekeeper will be here in half an hour, and I want to get the place tidy before she arrives.
It's easy, go on, have a guess. Something different that's happening at this moment.
Different?
Yeah. Having finished my coffee, what aren't I doing that I would normally be doing?
Going to work.
No, apart from that. Some typical thing that I always do every morning at this moment while finishing my coffee, that is.
I simply no idea.
I'll give you a hint.
Goodbye, Peck, whilst hoovering my lips, perhaps?
With my fingers poised, like this?
I hope that gesticulation doesn't indicate what it appears to indicate, Philip.
No. I'm pretending to smoke.
But there's no need to pretend to smoke. You do smoke, and smell disgusting while doing so.
Ah, no, I don't. Not anymore.
Oh, no. Not again. You couldn't be so cruel as to do that to me. Not this week of all weeks. I couldn't face the misery.
But this time it's different, Sarah.
It's always different.
Don't you see? It's the very last time I'll have to do it, because I'll never smoke again.
You're always never going to smoke again. You give me 5, 10, 15, 20 days of sheer unadulterated hell, and then you start again. After the crying bouts, feeling awfully pleased with yourself and promising faithfully never to stop again.
Honestly, it's different. This time I'm actually keeping a journal.
By the end of the week, you'll be ripping pages out of it and rolling them into tubes and lighting them to give your lungs something to drag on.
No, I promise you it'll be totally different this time. You see, I'm going to put down my every thought and feeling in the book. My hopes and ambitions, what I'll do with the hundreds of pounds that I'll save in no time at all. Stuff like that.
Right. Right. This conversation stops right here. You may stop smoking to your heart's content, but I insist on not being involved.
Involved?
Yes, involved. I want not one conversation about the misery you're in, how funny your mouth feels, how you can't sleep at night and feel twitchy all day. None of it, you hear me? None of it. And if you offer me just one piece of chewing gum, Philip Hardwick, I promise you faithfully, I shall leave you for good.
So there you are, Phil. Thought you weren't going to make it.
Morning, Barry. Got held back. Had a bit of a spat this hour.
Yeah, really. How awfully distressing. Monday in particular.
Yeah.
Anything of import?
No. Nothing of note. Perhaps best not talk about it.
Well, still, you made it. That's the important thing. It'll be gin rummy in no time. Right, in your pop, old son.
On reflection, no. I'll get in the next carriage if it's all the same with you.
That's a non-smoker.
Yes, care to join me in there, would you?
Well, no, thank you very much. This journey's awful enough without the misery of nicotine deprivation.
Fine. Catch up with you at the other end.
Fair enough.
But Philip not getting in?
No, going to the next carriage. Non-smoker.
What?
Sarah's given him a right drubbing this morning, and reading between the lines, I guess that she's nagged him into having one final fling at putting the weed behind him forever.
Good Lord, how awful.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
New journal. Still day one. The sheer pleasure of sitting in a train carriage, not awash with other people's foul cigarette smoke, has to be tried to be appreciated. I never knew how precious was blessed fresh air until this moment. Oops. Less than 2 hours into this, the first day of a new beginning, and already I feel like a new man. If the rest of the day passes as smoothly as this, I shall be well pleased. Very well pleased indeed.
I don't wish to hear what you have to say on the matter. I repeat, the order is 2 days overdue, and if it isn't here by first post tomorrow, I shall have no hesitation whatsoever in taking it away from your company forthwith. I beg your pardon? You sure about that? Oh, excuse me. Hello, mailroom. Have you had a special delivery from the design group this afternoon? You have? Yes, well, why didn't you damn well send it up, you cretin? I've just made a fool of myself because of you. You what? You did send it up. When? Now, look, don't take that tone of voice at me, Postrum. Well, I called you cretin because that's the noun that I thought your behavior deserved. I know I'm wrong, but I didn't then, did I? Trust the design group to do something as underhand as having it delivered by special delivery to beat the postal service. And why the hell hasn't it been given to me yet? Hello, yes. Right, I'm sorry about that. It is actually on the premises. Somebody's goofed by not getting it up to me straight off. Yeah, okay, yes, that's fine. But it doesn't alter the fact that it is a day late, and your contract is under review.
Ready for tea yet, sir?
No, I am not ready for tea, but I am ready to hear why a package from the design department, which the postroom sent up over an hour ago, hasn't arrived on my desk yet.
But it is on your desk.
What?
I put it in your in tray at 4 o'clock.
Well, why didn't you tell me you'd put it in my in tray?
You saw me put it in your in tray. It was when you were shouting at production control on the internal phone.
I do not shout on the phone. And you're forever putting things in my in tray. Why didn't you let me know it was important?
But I had no way of knowing it was important. Simply addressed to you. And in a plain brown envelope.
Ah. Yes, there it is.
And I do think it's high time you started talking to me simply for a change.
What? Strange girl. Terribly highly strung and oversensitive. Probably premenstrual tension. Yes. That's the answer. Good old PMT.
Did you say something, dear?
No. Just ruminating the day.
How was it?
A bit strange, really. Started off all right, and then people began to get progressively ratty.
Monday morning-ish, perhaps?
No, it wasn't until late afternoon that it really began to bite. Production control came out on lightning strike, apparently.
Hey,
yeah.
What on earth for?
No idea for the moment. They're apparently refusing to talk to management until after a meeting tonight round at the Pig and Whistle.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So whatever it was, it spread to include the postroom.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes, I don't know what's happening in the world. I gave my secretary the mildest of rebukes, and she burst into tears.
Sure,
yes. And then dashed out of the office.
Strange day all round, in fact.
How was the not smoking?
Ah, no problem, no problem at all. I think without a doubt, this time I'm really going to make it. Yes, this time I'll make it.
Dear journal, me too. Sorry, I'll have to be a little briefer today. For some reason, lay tossing and turning, unable to sleep all night, until the crack of dawn when I fell into a sleep that Sarah couldn't wake me from. That's what she said. To be perfectly honest, I think she's trying to make me late for some bizarre reason or other.
Philip! How many times do I have to tell you you're going to be late?
Coming, darling!
Wait, I've got to go now, Journal. I'll catch up with you on the train.
All right.
Oh, it's lovely. There isn't a spare sausage or anything by any chance, is there, darling?
Well, no. I mean, you've always been happy with one sausage with your bacon and eggs up till now.
Fine, fine.
I'll do you another one if you like.
I haven't got time to sit around all morning waiting for sausages to be cooked. I'm late enough as it is. Goodbye, darling.
Right, Philip. I hope the stopping feels a bit better today.
Stopping?
Yeah, stopping smoking.
I have thought about stopping once, and now look what you've done.
What have I done?
You've reminded me. Thank you very much, Sarah. Being honest, that sort of support I could do without. Still day two. Very a bit insistent I get into the smoker with him and the other chaps today, but I insisted that I wouldn't. Not today. Too early in the campaign. Tomorrow, when I've got over the worst, should be quite safe. I mean, perhaps it's better to put up with the smoke in there rather than upsetting the chum. He is starting to get a strange sensation as if spiders were crawling up and down inside my veins, very disquieting. Do you know if I'm not sickening for something?
Is it me? You can't be serious, sir.
Afraid so, Philip. Production control said you called them inefficient, deadbeat, no-hopers. And Michael in the mailroom said you called him a cretin.
But he is a cretin.
I know that, and you know that, but apparently Michael doesn't. And he was rightfully upset that you pointed it out to him. So, apologies all round to get the factory moving again. I think it's on the card.
Ah, and when are you going to apologize?
I'm not going to apologize, Philip. You are.
Me? I can't go cap in hand to the blue collar boys. They'll see I don't mean a word of it.
Well, start meaning a word of it, Philip. This strike is costing me money while we stand here discussing your sensibilities.
And furthermore, I may, in the heat of the moment, have said things that on reflection could have been phrased in a more genteel fashion. Deadbeat, no hopers, sprang to my lips unsummoned.
If
I had simply said, think Maggie, it would have carried the same message and spurred you to greater efforts on the company's behalf without the ensuing disruptions.
Rather than think after and come out on strike sort of thing.
Quite. So now, having duly apologised, I hope that you will see your way clear back to resuming work. One last factor I will draw to your attention while you are all gathered together here on the shop floor. I see that some of you are still, in spite of the health warnings, continuing to contaminate your fellow workers as well as yourselves with smoking. It is, of course, one thing for an individual to condemn himself to ill health and emphysema. But you think that it is fair and just to condemn the man or woman who works alongside you to the same fate. Tests have proved conclusively that if you smoke in the same room as others, the others, whether they like it or not, will also be smoking and be heir to all the attendant risks that they are enjoying.
Well, the ones that weren't injured like eating.
What an amazing thing to happen.
Quite. I mean, it was around the time I was describing what cancer of the lung can do to an average family income that it had. One of the apprentices joshingly blew smoke in the chief shop steward's face at that point, and in minutes it was a mayhem of flying fists and fags being dragged out of the fellow's mouths.
So what's the outcome?
Well, the whole factory floor has been declared a smoke-free zone. Anybody who wants to go on with a vile habit has to use the toilet with the vent exhale. Strangely enough, the chairman's not terribly pleased.
Come.
Sir?
Ah, Philip. Morning. Come in. Have a seat.
My secretary says you wanted to see me.
She's talking to you again, is she?
Well, no. She left me a little note. Written on the bottom of her resignation, as it happens.
I see. Delivered by post-room, was it?
Not quite.
They still seem to be rather strained with me. Some sort of vendetta, I believe. They deliver my stuff to the office next door, and they pop it in.
Did you apologize to Michael, as I requested?
Yes, yes, I did.
Then why the vendetta?
Somebody must have loaned him a dictionary.
Beg pardon?
Well, it's really hard to explain to somebody who is so patently a cretin that one didn't mean to call him one in the first place. So I decided to make him feel better without straining my own integrity by choosing adjectives to describe him that had the ring of veracity about them, while summarizing honestly my own opinion of him, namely, that he is a cretin.
So what did you say to him?
That I find it enervating to be in his presence, and that conversing with him proves indubitably that he is eclectic beyond measure.
Save me also having to search out a dictionary, Philip. What does that lot boil down to?
He's a boring, tiring old tyke, and he hasn't got one idea in his bone idle head that hasn't been pinched from somebody else.
I see. Philip, you've got a problem.
A problem? Me?
Yes, you. I think you should take time out and see your doctor. Don't you realize, apart from everything else, the lost orders and what have you? You've started to squiggle.
Squiggle?
Yes, squiggle. You're doing it now. Shuffling about in the chairs, if you had ants in your pants.
Ah, well.
Rubbing your eyes, scratching yourself. That, coupled with the deterioration of your relationship with everyone from the shop floor upwards, indicates to me you've got a major problem. Perhaps mental in origin.
Yeah, oh, no. No, I'm as sane as sane. It's the stopping smoking that does it. Nicotine deprivation. A sensation that spiders are crawling up and down inside the veins being one of the more minor symptoms that make one shift about a bit. I may have been a trifle detection of chaps, but it'll soon pass.
How soon?
Well, it's my fourth day today. Another few weeks should see me through the world.
A few weeks? At the rate you're going, the factory will be closed by then. There's only one answer. You'll have to start smoking again forthwith.
Oh, I couldn't do that. It'd be unfair to posterity.
Posterity?
Yes, you see, I'm keeping a journal. A bit like Pepys, You turn to Pepys for the Great Fire of London, and to me, future generations will turn to discover what it felt like to give up smoking, which by then, of course, will, I'm sure, be totally banned.
See your doctor, Phil. You need help.
Dear Journal, day 5. Today is the day I kill somebody.
Phil!
Probably Sarah, my wife.
Of course I know what damn time it is. I've looked at my damn watch and seen the damn time. It's time you had my damn breakfast cooked. That's what time it is. Yes.
Philip Hardwick, if you talk to me like that again, I walk out on you. That is a promise. Your breakfast is cooked. Also, 2 extra sausages, plus the extra rashers as demanded. And it is now on the kitchen table going cold. You may eat it or not, as the mood takes you. But don't shout abuse at me like that again. Ever. Or, I go.
I do feel, perhaps, it will be Sarah who sees the doctor this morning, rather than myself. She's obviously very troubled and itchy. Change of life, perhaps?
Now, what can I do for you, Mr. Hardwick?
Well, you could cast your eye over the reading matter available to the suffering souls awaiting your ministrations. 2 copies of last year's Lancet plus a book on boils isn't very uplifting, particularly when one has to wait so long to be attended to because the booking system's so shoddy.
Tell me, Mr. Hardwick, do you have a lot of friends?
Ah, yes, lots. Keeping away from them at the moment. They're all smokers.
Sensible chaps.
Well, you mean sensible chap me, keeping away from them.
No, I mean sensible chaps that they smoke. Huh? Care to have one? Calm to the nerves, marvellously. Trying to get all my patients off the Valium and back on the weed. You smoke?
Of course.
Only answer.
Only answer? But you're a doctor. Doctors don't smoke.
Oh, yes, they do. Furtively, Mr. Hardy. Just that's the reason. The world's full of rude people pushing into our offices and revealing their suppurating sores, sticking their scabs up our noses for inspection. In such a situation, you too would smoke, Mr. Hardwick.
This is quite appalling. You are ashamed of your profession.
Could be right, Mr. Hardwick. But at least I haven't got little bugs crawling up and down my veins like you. What? My home life and working life is not being made a misery by people not being able to see my quite sensible point of view like yours is.
Good Lord, huh? How on earth did you know that? It's clairvoyant.
No, it's not. I have occasionally tried to stop smoking myself, remember?
Dear journal. Still day five. An endless day. On my way to work, visited doctor. Madman. I sat in the smoker to prove I won't be beaten. No matter how rude and defensive the world becomes all around me, I shall succeed. It's like sitting in the middle of a muggy ashtray in here. Everybody around me just puffing away. I hate them all. Every last lucky son of a bitch on this planet who isn't stopping smoking. I hate you.
Were you addressing me, sir?
Hey, pardon?
You mumbled something, and I wondered if you were directing it to me.
No. Just scratching my thoughts into my journal. You know, day book. Yes.
Emotional stuff, is it?
Not to you. Why do you ask?
Well, perhaps you don't realize it, but there's a lone teardrop slowly rolling down your left cheek.
Good Lord. How strange. How terribly strange.
What? Hello? Hello? Oh, what on earth are you doing at home? I thought you were going to sleep. Bill, oh. You look dreadful. You're all white and trembling. Let's get you sitting down. What happened?
A bit of a breakdown, I'm afraid.
The train?
No, me. On the train.
God, what happened?
I found myself sobbing uncontrollably into this poor, unsuspecting chap's blue pinstripe shoulder pads. Ruined his times.
Oh, no.
Yes, thank God it wasn't my usual train. Never lived the shame down. Nobody minds a bit of crying, but the spoil of chap's paper. Unforgivable.
Didn't the doctor offer any help?
Useless. He damn well smokes himself.
A doctor?
Exactly. Says they're all at it. Secretly. That was me thinking they're all popping pills to keep the tension down, and it turns out they're sucking themselves silly on the wicked weed instead. Well, I won't be beaten, Sarah. I will not be beaten. Maybe I can't face work. May end up getting the sack. Maybe the agony of my stomach cramps and the upset bowels and the crying and the trembling will weaken my will, but not to the point where I give in. I would prefer to die than face such dishonor.
Oh, yes,
I would truly prefer to die.
Hello? Desperation line, can I help you?
Yes, I need your advice. What is the safest way to commit suicide?
I'm sorry, can you speak up? The lines aren't very good.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't speak up. My wife's asleep upstairs. And this is a secret call. I don't want to worry her. I tell you what. I'll whisper a bit louder. How's that?
That's much better. I'm Sandy, by the way. What's your name?
Eric.
Right, Eric. How can I help you?
I want to know the least messy way of committing suicide, Sandy.
And why do you want to commit suicide, Eric?
Well, I don't really want to commit suicide, if I can possibly avoid it. It's just... I desperately want never to smoke again. Ever. And I want some backup information, just in case all else fails.
I see. A bit extreme, wouldn't you say? Killing yourself quickly to avoid killing yourself slowly.
Death before dishonor.
Dishonor?
Yes. I made a vow. This time I stop. I'm a man of my word, and my word is my bond. Hence my phone call to you in desperation.
Who did you make the vow to, Eric?
Myself. I, Philip Hardwick, am never going...
I see. And how's the family taking it, Philip?
It?
You're stopping smoking.
Well, you're pretty miserable about it, really. I mean, not a very happy home life at the moment for my wife. Or me. I cry a lot.
I see. How about work?
It was disastrous. Strikes. Secretary resigned. Lost three large contracts in my first 4 days of stopping. Now it looks as though my job's in jeopardy. Not good all round. So what's the answer?
I'd say a very high cliff.
Beg pardon?
Your best bet would be a very high cliff. With jaggedy bits at the bottom, just to be sure.
Sounds a bit messy, wouldn't you say, Sandy?
It always is. Even the clean ones are messy. But at least a cliff could have perhaps have been an accident, and your bereft widow won't face the shame as well as the loss.
Shame?
Oh, yes. A husband who couldn't face up to the realities, Philip.
The realities?
Yes. How long have you smoked?
Well, I've tried it at 7. 3 a day at 14, 10 a day at 20, 30 a day at 30, etc.
And how many do you smoke now, Philip?
None. I've packed it up forever, remember?
How many were you smoking when you stopped?
Well, about 40 a day, give or take the odd packet.
And how often have you tried stopping before?
About once or twice a year, on average. Look, I'd really rather not talk about this, Sandy.
Of course you wouldn't. But facts have to be faced. You're a confirmed smoker, Philip.
No, I am not.
Yes, you are. And it's not yourself you really want to kill, but your best friend.
My best friend?
Yes. Only 2 or 3 inches long. White.
Beg your pardon?
A cigarette, Philip. Your comfort and your joy. A friend and constant companion who's been at your side through all your days, from childhood to maturity. Who knows of every happy and every sad event in your life, because he was there to share them with you. Now you want to banish him again. But you can't kill him off completely as you'd like to. Because he's just around the corner waiting to be summoned. And you know it. It's good you've given your lungs a rest. It would help a lot if you cut them down. But you will smoke again, Philip. Of that you can be certain.
How can you be so sure?
I'm on 40 a day myself, Philip. Started again the week before last, after stopping for 10 days. Sheer agony.
Dear Journal, Day 7. Sadly, our relationship must come to an end. I have enjoyed these few short days I have spent in your company.
Hey, breakfast!
Coming, darling! But now, as all things must, it comes to an end. Ah. Yeah, that's out of the way. No choice. Keep it. Or chuck it. It's short for posterity. There's Chucky.
Well, it's very nice to have you back in the smoker, Phil.
Well, good to be back.
I thought you might have packed up the wheat for good.
Oh, no. Just giving my lungs a rest for a week.
Oh, good idea. I occasionally do the same myself.
Yes.
A fancy one now.
Very nice of you to offer. You know, I'm not really... I mean, I can actually give them up altogether any time I want. It's only willpower, after all.
No, quite. I mean, stopping for a week proves it. Yes. I'm the same myself.
Mind you, I have been told of a marvellous new way of stopping that removes all strain completely and doesn't require willpower. I might give it a go.
Really?
Yes. Sandy, as a friend of mine, was telling me on the phone last night, you stop smoking the way you started. Brilliant.
What, behind the bicycle shed sort of thing?
No, no, slowly, you see. You drop a few cigarettes every year. You know, 30, down to 28, down to 26 and so on.
I'm going to give it a try.
But I thought I might. I reckon if I got started next year, I should be off them entirely by the time I retire.
It'd be a useful saving.
Quite, I mean, yes. I do think that's worth very serious consideration. Very serious consideration indeed. Next year, huh?
Paul Dainman played Philip and Norma Ronald Sarah in Without Fire by Wally K. Daly. The managing director, Bernard Brown, Barry, Richard Durden, Doreen, Jane Leonard, the doctor, Graham Blocky, and Sandy, Tessa Worsley. Without Fire was directed by Martin Jenkins.